Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Key.
Questioning what it was that they believed whenever they had been obedient to Christ. They were questioning why they were doing what they were doing, and if indeed these were truly the commandments of our God. They were questioning every part of their faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this, they were in need of someone teaching them the basics. These people should have been teachers. They had been Christians for a long period of time. Some scholars contend that they had been Christians for possibly 20, 30 years. And in this, they should have been rooted and grounded in the truth. However, the Hebrews writer exclaims that these individuals needed someone to come and to teach them the very basic principles. Well, what is going on here? Good people, they were not satisfied with what they had gained in Christ, and they were turning back. They were turning back to what? They were turning back to Judaism. They were turning back to seek justification according to these ceremonies as well as these sacrificial offerings. And good people understand, at this time, there was no way under the sun that they were going to be able to be justified in this manner. Why? Because Jesus had removed the law. That is, He had removed the law of Moses, having nailed it to the cross. In this, is it possible for people to fall away? Is it possible for an individual who has been baptized into Christ, for this individual to walk away from our God? Good people, the New Testament, in and throughout the New Testament, we find preaching and teaching. In fact, we learn in Jesus' words to the Jews, in the book of Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, Jesus says that those who would be taught the truth, and those individuals who had heard the truth and believed the truth, that a time would come where eventually, because of the fact that they were not good soil, but rather because they were hard soil, it had fallen upon stony ground, that these individuals would fall away. Our Lord said, most certainly it is possible for a person to walk away from their salvation. But also consider the words of the Apostle Paul to the saints at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, he says, "Let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he also fall." Paul says that you and I, as New Testament Christians, always ought to be thinking about what it is that we have in Christ. Also, the commandments of God as to how we must live our life. You and I must constantly be examining God's Word as well as our life, and to make certain that we are living it according to the principalities that God has laid down. But good people, understand that if we do not, He says that most certainly we can be guilty of falling away. Do you remember the words of Peter in his general epistle in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, where he stated, "Here that is possible, very likely in fact, for many people to become entangled again with the affairs of the world." And Peter tells us in this same statement that it would have been better for them not to have known the truth than to have known it and to have obeyed and then to have fallen away. Good people, is it possible for someone to fall away from the Lord, to lose their faith, to walk away and not to be counted as one of the faithful in the end when we stand before God in judgment? The Bible says, most certainly it is possible. What is the picture that we find? Good people, the Bible tells us that many have fallen away. In the first century, we learn in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that those that the Apostle Paul had taught at Galatia, that these individuals were so soon removed unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but they had been removed to by those individuals who had perverted the gospel of Christ. I believe in the context that these people were mixing the gospel of Christ with Judaism, and this sounded good to those Christians, those individuals there who had obeyed Christ in baptism. They could have their cake and eat it too. They could have what mom and dad was pleased with, and what mom and dad was not willing to leave. And yet at the same time, they could still have Christ. And the Apostle Paul saying, good people, it doesn't work like that. Why? Because you cannot mix true Christianity with anything. Why? Because if you do, you're not going to come up with the truth. These people, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, had walked away. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, spoke of an individual, Demas. We mentioned him this morning, who had walked away, departed from His presence,
And good people, the implication there, I believe, would be also is that he had walked away from the Lord by departing also from the presence of the Apostle Paul. Why do I state that? Because the Bible says that he loved this present age, this present world, more than that which was to come. We also have identified for us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and following, where individuals are identified as the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Good people, it's not someone who's going to come in the future and is going to bring an end to the world. There's not going to be any signs leading up to that. The Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. Well, who is the Antichrist? The Antichrist is anyone who is not for Christ, who, in the context of these verses here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and following, these individuals were a part of the church. Well, you say, Kevin, what do you mean that they were a part of the church? These people had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but yet the Bible tells us that they were not part of us. Why? Because he says that they departed from us. They left us. These people had walked away from God. And the Bible also tells us that in every generation, people will fall away. Do you remember the words that the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5? Particularly verses 3 and 4, if memory serves me correct. He says that a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But he says that they will have itching ears. And that doesn't mean that their ear was itching and they were expecting company. But rather, good people, their ear was itching because they did not like what it was that Timothy, in the context, or what others was proclaiming to them. Their life didn't line up with the Scripture. And he says, Timothy, they're not going to be satisfied with this. And he says, whenever they do, he says, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. And he says, those teachers are going to be false teachers and they're going to tell them whatever it is that they want to hear. Well, what's the end result? Good people, these people would walk away from the Lord in every generation. In fact, you and I can conclude, I believe tonight, that many will fall away. Who will fall away from the Lord? New converts will walk away from the Lord. Why? I believe in part because the pull of the world. New converts come out of the world and they've been used to living like the world, and it's going to be hard for them to turn loose of the world. Why? Because the world doesn't want to turn loose of them. The world keeps pulling at them. And good people, you and I need to watch out for those who come to Christ and to make certain that we are pulling harder than what the world is pulling. That we're pulling for their soul while the world is pulling them away from God. You and I realize that if they go back, they walk away from God. But also, not only do we expect new converts to walk away, even immature Christians. Who and what is classified as an immature Christian? Good people, I believe the answer to that is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. They should have been teachers, but they had need for someone to teach them again. They had a lack of understanding. Did they understand, at least in part, the very basic principles? They did. But yet at the same time, they didn't really get the nuts and bolts of all of that. And you and I have brothers and sisters in Christ who have been members of the church for many years, but yet, let's be honest tonight, they really and truly have not grasped what it is all about. They have a lack of understanding, and for that reason, we would classify them as immature or weak Christians. And the Bible tells us that these people, that they can easily be led astray. Why? Because they will have false teachers come up and teach them, and they will be pulled away by every wind of doctrine. They're not rooted and grounded in the truth. And the Bible tells us that most certainly in this age, today in 2011, next year in 2012, you and I will see immature Christians walk away from our God. But realize, it doesn't only, not only will we see new converts and immature Christians, sometimes you and I will even have mature brethren who will walk away. Why is that? Good people, they will give up. They will get discouraged with maybe something that somebody has said, and for that reason we need to guard our words, amen? They may get discouraged with things that they see out here in the world. And they may start to question God, even though that they are rooted and grounded. Yet at the same time, the world still has a way of tearing all of us down.
And in this, though, we look in regard to the things that go on in people's lives, and their life within itself can have problems. The life within itself can present challenges and trials, and all of these things just build up to the point where our mature brothers and sisters in Christ say, I can't take it anymore. And for that reason, they leave the faith. They walk away from our God. Good people, in this, we need to realize is that whenever we do so, if we walk away from God, it becomes very personal. You say, Kevin, what is it that you're trying to say? The crucifixion, according to what we learn, good people, is replayed. None of us were there whenever Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth. None of us were there whenever Jesus is betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver and handed over to the Roman soldiers. None of us were able to be there that day and to witness in a very personal manner what it took place there as Peter drew his sword and cut Malchus's ear off, and that as Jesus now then appears before a trial, and how that they had to trip up charges against him. Why? Because he's innocent. None of us were able to be there and to see these things happen. But also, none of us were there whenever Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And good people, I am so grateful in so many ways that I was not there. Why? Tonight I tell you that it's not because I don't like blood, guts, and gore. I don't like those things, but that's really not why I would not have wanted to have been there. But the reason that I'm glad that I was not there is because I'm afraid that I would have been amongst the crowd that would have gotten caught up in life, that would have been caught up in the moment, and maybe even I would have been one of those who said, crucify Him, crucify Him. Having missed it all, and having been responsible for Jesus Christ our Lord dying at the cross. But you know, the Bible identifies for us that our unfaithfulness puts us there. The passage that Mitchell read for us a few moments ago in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 through 6 says, seeing they crucify for themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. When you and I live our lives contrary to the will of God, when you and I violate the law that God has laid down for us, when you and I walk away from God, the Bible tells us that we are just as guilty as what those individuals who were there in the first century and who tripped up those charges against Him were just as guilty of those individuals who stood there and said, crucify Him, crucify Him, and release Barabbas unto us. Good people, you and I can be there. Why and how? Whenever we walk away from our God. In all of this, how often do you and I, even in our faithfulness, stop to consider the pain that our Lord and Savior went through? Jesus Christ suffered immensely at the cross. I contend tonight that He suffered not only physical pain, but He also suffered mental pain and anguish, knowing what it was that He was going to endure and why He was going to endure it. Not for anything that He did, but rather for our sins, for the things that you and I do, willfully or even ignorantly. The cross was very humiliating. And good people, the cross, according to what we learn from history, was reserved for criminals, for those who had committed the vilest of crimes. You know, for the murderers, for those who were guilty of stealing, of raping. In those categories would be those individuals that we would identify and to see that they were nailed to the cross. Why? Because they were deserving of that type of a death. They were deserving of that type of torture in their life. But we see, though, that Jesus Christ our Lord was innocent. The Hebrews writer tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 that Jesus Christ, He was tempted in all points as we are, but yet He was without sin. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 20 and 21, he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example who did no sin, neither was any gall found in his mouth.
Good people, why did Jesus go to the cross? The Hebrews writer also tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He says that he endured the shame of the cross. Why? Because he looked at the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? Realizing that through his death at Calvary, that he would provide a means of salvation for the sins that mankind would commit against God. Jesus Christ died at the cross, and the unfaithful Christian reopens this wound whenever we would walk away from the relationship that we have in Christ with our God. Good people, in this, we need to realize that there is punishment that will await those who walk away from God. Judgment day is coming. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "As is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment." The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, says that in the day that Jesus Christ returns, he says that he will come in flaming fire, doing what? Taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who have never obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hell is reserved for the ungodly. In the book of Jude and verse 6, we learn that the angels who sinned against God are reserved. There is a place where these created creatures are held, bound, the Bible tells us, in chains. Where are they going to be in the day of judgment? Good people, these individuals, those that were created by God, who should have served God, but yet they were unfaithful to God. The Bible tells us that they will spend eternity in hell. We learn, most certainly so, that hell is a prepared place for those who are unprepared to stand before our God. A place, according to what Jesus taught in the book of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 28, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And good people, whenever we think in regard to all of the torment and all of the surroundings that hell has there, most certainly you and I can realize why there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this, Jesus also taught in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 46 that those who go to hell will be there eternally. There will be not any getting out. There's no purgatory. Where has purgatory come from? To people, that is Roman Catholicism. That's their doctrine. It's not established in the Bible, but rather hell is eternal without end. But the Bible also tells those of us who are Christians, who do live our life faithful to God, that heaven is prepared for the godly. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 verses 1 through 4, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare." To do what? To prepare. Well, what did he go to prepare? A place for you. Well, who's he talking to? Good people, he's speaking to the apostles in the context, but in the broad context, he's speaking to every New Testament Christian who lives their life faithful to God. And according to what John had revealed to him at Patmos in the book of Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 through 8, heaven is an amazing place. It is a place where we will be in the presence of God, and to that we say, amen. It is a place where God will wipe away all tears from eyes, where there will be no death. And good people, it is indeed a place that, just in its beauty alone, doesn't even start to compare to what you and I might consider to be beautiful here in this world. But also note what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. The same context we considered for the eternal state of hell is also presented there in Matthew 26 and verse 46 about heaven. It is eternal. Heaven is eternal. And what does that mean? It means for those who make it to heaven, for those who are rewarded in the end to spend eternity in heaven with God, that will never be taken from us. We also need to consider the predicament that we might find ourselves in if we are not careful in this world. The Bible tells us that it is possible for us to go too far. And having stated that, first I want to present that God stands always ready and willing to forgive. The Bible shows us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Now understand what He says. Not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God is long-suffering. God is very patient. God could at any moment bring this earth, bring this universe into a state of non-existence, but God continues to allow it to exist. Why? Good people, it's not because God's up there having fun, but rather it's because God wants every soul that will turn to Him. God waits anxiously, begging and pleading for these souls to come home. We learn in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who has an ear to hear, let him open, and I will come into them." You see, God always stands knocking through Jesus Christ. That is the invitation He gives in Christ for you and me to come back to Him. But we also need to understand tonight that God will not save everyone. And I'm not going to get in tonight into all of the areas that we want to talk about that. Why? Because I think it's next Sunday night I'm going to talk about that. But we need to realize is that God will not save everyone. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 tells us in this that if we neglect Christ, that God will not forgive us of our sins. He says if we sin willfully, there remains no remission of sin. Well, what does He mean? He means, good people, if we do not want to accept God on His terms, according to the standards that He has laid down in Christ, if we do not accept Christ as heaven's plan of salvation and do exactly what God requires us to do, in other words, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and to submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, God says there is no more remission of sin. Well, what's He saying? He says there's not a plan B. Plain and simple. It's only God's way, or it's no way at all. We also learn from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Is that those individuals who are not willing to repent and to come home, that God will not save them in the end either. Good people, when we think in regard to the results, God paints a very clear picture for us as to why people walk away from Him. Why do our brothers and sisters walk away from God? I believe in part it's because they fail to know. They fail to really and truly know what God requires man to do. Do they have an elementary understanding? Most certainly they do, and that's why they put Christ on. But yet at the same time, they fail to know the fullness in an in-depth manner to what God requires of us. And in this, then, they walk away. And somebody says, why would you say that? Good people, read Hebrews chapter 3 through Hebrews chapter 11. That's what happened with these people. And that's what led to their spirit of unbelief. Also consider Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where Paul is speaking to the saints at Galatia. And he called them foolish Galatians. Why did he call them foolish Galatians? Good people, it wasn't because they were being silly. It's because it was much more serious than that. It's because they had walked away from God. And he says that they had been bewitched. Well, how were they able to be tricked? Good people, they were able to be tricked because of a lack of knowledge and understanding. And today, you and I, whenever our brothers and sisters walk away, I believe part of the answer lies in to the fact that these people fail to know the truth, the depth that God requires us to know. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? They also fail to grow.
God requires us to grow as Christians. And as a result of this, we also learn is that the Hebrews, who should have been teachers, but now they have need of someone to teach them. Again, what's Paul trying to say, or the Hebrews writer trying to tell us? He's trying to get across to all generations who would come forth after this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't find yourself in the same situation, the same spiritual state as what these people here are in,
who failed to grow. And they walked away from God. The Apostle Paul also taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, that we must preach and teach the truth in love, but also he says that we must be rooted and grounded in the truth. But also understand, according to what we learn from those here, these Hebrew Christians, they had failed to go. And in the context of what I'm wanting to use this, we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Hebrews writer is rebuking these individuals because they had been forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Well, what was it then that they were to assemble themselves together in and for? They were to assemble themselves together in the same manner as what you and I are commanded to do today. Every Sunday, each Lord's Day, for what purpose were they to come together? Good people, they were to come together to worship and to praise our God and to receive edification as they learned from God's Word. And these people were walking away. They had turned away. They had abandoned going to the services. And you and I can be just as guilty of walking away from God whenever we neglect to go to services. Whenever you and I do not do what God commands us to do, to assemble together with His people, it makes us weak. And before we know it, you and I can be participants in the same sin that these individuals were, who abandoned the Lord. And these things, good people, what are some things that we can do to prevent? How can we help our brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to teach them. Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." God's Word is the truth, John chapter 8 and verse 32, that's able to set us free. To set us free from living a life of sin and to set us free from the guilt and the consequences that are connected with the sin that will separate us from our God. But also note what Jesus said there in John 17, 17. He said, "Sanctify them by Thy truth." The Word is able to sanctify us. Well, what does that word sanctify mean? Good people, it means that it's able to set us apart. It's able to set us apart from the sin of the world. And it's able to set us apart to be true citizens of the kingdom. It's able to set us apart to make us different, and to give us hope of the eternal life that God has planned in eternity. You and I must teach our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to make certain that we do all that we can to root them and to ground them in the truth. But in like figure, you and I must have an open eye and be willing and ready to go and to restore them. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? He says, "Brethren, if one be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted." We need to listen to those who sit around and about us. We need to listen and to have our eyes open to the things that are going on with those that we are closest with in the body of Christ. Why? Because they may have burdens that are tearing them down. They may have things going on in their life that they cannot handle. And they will give a clue to us. They will give us signs. And you and I need to be privy to that information. You and I need to have our eyes open, our ears listening, tuned in to saying, "Is there anything going on?" But not only for the sake of gaining that knowledge, but then in like figure, you and I ought to have the compassion to go to these brothers and sisters in Christ and seek to restore them. Do you remember what James said by way of inspiration in the book of James chapter 5 verses 19 and 20? He says that if we are able to convert a sinner from the error of the way, that we will hide a multitude of sin. Well, how is that sin hidden? Good people, it's hidden in Jesus, the blood of Christ. And understand the significance of all of that.